Welcome to The Empowered Creative, a podcast designed for creatives who are ready to take their happiness into their own hands. I'm your host, Christina, and my mission is to give you practical, empowering, and easy-to-follow mindset tools to help you slay insecurities, grow your confidence, and design an amazing life and business you love. If you are ready to invite self-compassion into your life and give yourself permission to shine, then this podcast is for you. Hey there, and welcome to episode number 2. I'm so happy you are here. Today, I just want to take a minute to give my thanks to all of you who listened to episode number 1. Thank you. Thank you for all the heartwarming comments on Instagram, all the emails, and for mentioning my show to your friends and followers. It means so much to me, and it makes me love my community even more than I already do, if that's even possible. So, you know what? Starting a podcast has been something that I have wanted to do for such a long time. In fact, all of last year, it was on my mind daily. I'm such a huge podcast fan myself because I love that I can listen and learn while I get ready in the morning, when I'm driving the car, cooking in the kitchen, walking the dogs, or soaking up the sun. It's such a great way to take in new knowledge and to be inspired. And I think it's also an incredible way to connect with like-minded people as well. So you might be wondering, why did it take me a year to create my own podcast? To be honest with you, I fell into the trap of thinking that the podcast scene was already oversaturated. And I was unsure that I could bring something new and worthy to the podcast scene. I think this is a trap so many entrepreneurs fall into before starting something new. We get scared that our effort will not pay off, that no one will care about what we do, or that we will not be good enough. And if you know this feeling, feel free to put your hand up in the air or nod your head. This is such a normal feeling. It's always scary to enter a new territory, no matter who you are, because in doing so, we are leaving our comfort zone, right? But the thing is that if we want to grow personally and professionally, we have to step out of this comfort zone and take some chances. Real growth is happening when you face your fears and learn new things. And I had to do both to make this podcast. I had to learn the technical part of making a podcast, how to get it on iTunes, and what recording gear to invest in. And I also was not sure if my spoken English would be good enough. For those of you who don't know me, I am from Denmark, a tiny country in Scandinavia. And even though I know English very well, there are just some words that are difficult for me to pronounce. Even the word pronounce is hard to say. It's like my tongue just won't cooperate. And therefore, sometimes I have to be very patient with myself when it comes to speaking English. But I finally decided that doing a podcast to serve and help my community was more important to me than feeding my insecurities. So here I am, doing episode number 2, and I'm truly enjoying it. So thank you so much for supporting me and for tuning in. Before we get into today's talk about what not to do in 2019 in order to grow your creative business, I just want to remind you that I have a free membership club full of wonderful resources about photography, blogging, Instagram, motivation, and creative inspiration. Once you join, you get access to a free 5-day photography course for beginners, as well as mini trainings and downloadable ebooks. It's 100% free, and you can subscribe on my website. I will make sure to link to the subscription page in the show notes. Another important thing that I just want to mention is my upcoming program, Optimize Your Creative Life. It's a 6-month business program for creatives who want to turn their passion into profit and build a solid, soulful-driven business. The doors are closing in just a few days, and it's the only time in 2019 that I'm running this program as a group course, along with coaching and support. So if you are thinking of starting a creative business, or if you already have a business and you need help growing it into a thriving empire, I am here to help. I have 20 years of experience as an entrepreneur, so I know all about the struggles, the frustrations, and the insecurities that you face when trying to build your brand and business. With this program, I give you my complete blueprint to copy and implement to fit your unique business, and I will be there to help you every step of the way. You can read all about the program on my website, and of course, I will link to the course info in the show notes. All right, let's move on and talk about what you should stop doing in 2019 to actually grow your business. So many people will tell you what you should do, but I think that sometimes it's good to focus on the opposite, what you should not do. What to let go of, plus what to eliminate from your life. You see, growth isn't always about what you need to start doing. Sometimes you have to consider what you need to stop doing. It's all about creating space for what's most important to you. And it's about simplifying things. For me, it's something that I think a lot about in my own life. I'm very keen on decluttering my life and eliminating unhealthy habits so I can truly focus on what matters most. It's all about cutting out all the fluff so you can save energy and take action on what needs to be done. So let's dive in. Number one, stop treating your business as a hobby. Let me just start by saying this. If you have a creative hobby and it's just something that you do for fun and pleasure and you have no intention of running a business, by all means, please continue. But my guess is that if you are listening to this podcast, you are ready to grow your business, right? You are serious about getting real results and take it to the next level. And when that is the case, it's crucial that you stop treating your business as a hobby. I meet so many wonderful and talented creatives that are doubting themselves, doubting their talents and their skills, and therefore they are afraid of taking ownership of their expertise and their rights to call themselves professionals. And I completely get it, because I did the exact same thing when I was starting out. Before I got into photography, I worked with psychology and coaching. I had my own coaching practice for 10 years and I was super dedicated to my work. But at some point, I found the need to take up a hobby and do something creatively. And more or less by chance, that hobby became photography. Little did I know how much this hobby would actually change my life. A year later, I had fallen in love with photography and it had taken over so much of my life. I'd already gotten my first clients and I knew I had to make a career decision. I was at a crossroad, one path leading to a life that I knew very well, with steady income, and the other path leading to the unknown. The unknown was so scary to me. Even when I finally took the big step, closing my coaching practice to start up as a photographer, I kept treating my photography as a hobby. Because as a self-taught photographer, I felt unworthy of entering this industry. I felt very much like an intruder. Who was I to think that I was good enough to succeed? Who was I to think that I could make this work? For a long time, I couldn't even say, I am a photographer. I actually just said, I'm just a person with a camera. I just take pictures. It wasn't until a magazine editor one day confronted me about what my insecurity did to the people that wanted to work with me. She said, Christina, you know what? People want to hire a confident photographer so they can relax and feel secure. They don't want to hire someone who doesn't believe in themselves or the value that they deliver. And that's when I realized that I had to step up. It was a decision that I needed to make within me. It was a mindset decision. I had to make a conscious decision that I was a photographer, that I was allowed to take up space in the photography world and call myself a professional. That decision changed everything for me. When you embark on a new career path, you have to allow yourself to take up space in that industry. If you hide or if you feel like an intruder, you will get nowhere and you will scare potential customers away. It's almost like clients can smell your insecurity from far away, right? So in order to grow your business, you need to lift your head up, trust yourself, and step into the arena with confidence. And if you're worrying that this will turn you into an arrogant, unlovable person, trust me, it won't. Even the fact that you worry about this tells me that you don't have to worry about this. Allowing yourself to shine will just make you more charismatic, likable, and attractive to your audience and your clients. Does it make sense? I hope it does. Here's the thing. If you want to convert your passion into a thriving business, the only way to succeed is to make the business your passion. If you stay in your comfort zone, you stay in a place where dreams go to die. And you don't have to leave your day job if you have one to stop treating your craft as a hobby. But while you are working on your business in the evenings or on the weekends, you need to do it with a mindset fit for an entrepreneur. You might be a newbie taking your first steps into running a business, and that's totally okay. But you owe it to yourself to take what you do seriously. And you are allowed to take up space in a new career field. You don't have to wait for anyone to give you permission. You are the boss. And that brings me to number two. Stop procrastinating what's important. Okay, so if you never procrastinate, I'm sure you must be a very special breed from another planet. We all do it from time to time, right? It's super normal. But here's the fact. The amount of how much or how little you procrastinate will be directly linked to your business growth or lack of it. If there is one thing you need to know about procrastination, it's this. Procrastination breeds self-doubt like nothing else. In fact, if I could give you just one hugely valuable advice in business and in life, it would be to stop procrastinating. We are all guilty of failing at doing something that we promised ourselves that we would do and then we didn't. Luckily, it doesn't mean that there is something wrong with you or that you are somehow broken. Because the good news is that procrastination is not part of your personality. It's not who you are. It's nothing more than a bad habit. And though that habit can be hard to change, changing it will boost your confidence and improve your life tremendously. If procrastination is something you struggle with, I recommend that you stop blaming yourself for it. Because when you blame, shame, and criticize yourself, it will only keep you stuck in the procrastinator spiral. And the spiral goes something like this. You procrastinate, which makes you doubt yourself. Perhaps you get angry with yourself, which then weakens your confidence, and then you procrastinate even more. It's a sadistic cycle, and you're doing it to yourself. Procrastination has the power to leave you frustrated, sad, tired, which then spiral into more insecurities. When we get angry with ourselves because we procrastinate, it can be a little bit like struggling in quicksand. the more effort you put into blaming yourself, the deeper you end up sinking. Does it make sense? So why do we procrastinate? There can be many reasons for this, but let me just say this. It's not because you're stupid or even lazy. Maybe you're a perfectionist. I know many creatives are, including myself, but if you let your perfectionism control you, you will most likely be prone to procrastination. Perfectionism limits action and progress. It makes it hard to get things done. Or maybe you feel unclear about how to get started. Maybe the task that lies before you seems daunting, complex, boring, difficult, or overwhelming. The key to beating procrastination is to find out what your specific reasons are for doing so, and then addressing them at the core. Do some self-evaluation to investigate why. Why is it that you avoid getting things done? Even if you know it's important to you, why do you avoid it? You can do this simply by asking yourself, why am I procrastinating this? What am I afraid of? Or what is it that I'm trying to avoid? And then, whatever the answer is, be mindful about bringing kindness to yourself. When you give kindness and support to yourself, you will instantly feel more motivated and energized to get stuff done. I promise you, it works. It sounds so simple, but it really does work. So whether you procrastinate doing a podcast like I did, starting a YouTube channel, a blog, creating a course, or simply posting something on social media, just give it a go. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? That you fail? So what? You are entering a learning curve and you cannot do everything perfectly from day one. We all learn as we go, right? And I personally believe that if you can touch just one person out there with what you do, your effort is rewarded in a big way. And what we often conclude along the way after we have started something is that I should have started this a long time ago. Why did it take me so long? It's not even as hard as I imagined. Another very simple and mindful way to eliminate procrastination is to start each day with a promise to yourself. You can simply, when you get up in the morning, say this to yourself. Today, I love and respect myself enough to take action on what's most important in my life and in my business. And that leads me to number 3. Stop wasting your energy on all the wrong things. This is all about limiting interruptions, time-wasting activities, and energy-sucking vampires. It's time to say no to everything and everyone that makes you feel awful, used, stressed out, or abused. To create the life and business you desire, you need to focus on what's most important to you. And to make room for what matters, you need to clear the way and remove all clutter. So don't waste your time following other people's agenda. Follow your own path. Do what makes you feel alive, happy, and full of energy. We all know how busy life can be. And while you are racing to the finish line, making plans, keeping up, and getting by, your extraordinary life is waiting for you on the other side. Now is a good time to slow down your pace and make sure you're spending time on the things that bring you fulfillment. So many people feel that they are surviving rather than thriving. And if this is you, know that your first step in changing this is to take a good hard look at your life. The sad truth is that many people spend most of that day doing things that brings them no joy. I mean, we all have to do things that we don't really like. Sometimes I have to do laundry. Sometimes I have to scoop dog poop off my shoes. And sometimes I need to do my taxes. And I hate all of those things. But the key is that you are aware of spending the majority of your day doing things that bring you closer to the life you wish to live. And to get to that place, you must begin to eliminate as much as you can from the life that drains you. I remember a personal turning point for me was when my kids were in school. They are all grown up now and in their 20s, but at the time when all three of them were in school, I was very dedicated to being part of the school system. I was a member of the parent board in each class. I went on every field trip. I was volunteering for practical everything from baking cakes to hosting parties and cleaning up on the playground. I spent countless of hours doing this because I had a belief that that was what a good mother would do. But you see, the thing was that I was actually suffering from this, not enjoying it very much. Not only because I'm highly introvert and therefore it drained me being so social with people I hadn't intentionally chosen to be in my life. I was also running a business at that time and everything I did at the kids' school was time away from growing my business. I was afraid that if I stopped helping out at the school, people would judge me as a bad mother. So you see, I was letting that fear keeping me from living my life the way I wanted to. And it did not make me happy. When I finally got the courage to stop pleasing everyone, I suddenly had so much more time and energy to create the life and business I was excited about. And that's when my business really started to grow. And another great benefit that came with this decision was that I also freed up more quality time to spend with my kids. You know, real one-on-one time with them. So we weren't together with a bunch of other kids or other parents at the school, but we had more time at home together as a family. So I turned into a much happier mom, that's for sure. So before we move on, I just want you to consider what interruptions, time-wasting activities, and energy-sucking vampires do you need to reduce or eliminate from your life? And remember, you don't have to make big changes and eliminate everything and everyone that drains you. Just take one small step today. That's the beginning. And when you harvest the benefits of that decision, you are ready to take the next step. All right? Let's move on. Number 4. Stop focusing on likes and popularity. Do you sometimes compare your creative work to what other creatives show on Instagram and then get depressed or discouraged? Do you sometimes get a little too obsessed with how many or how few likes you get on a certain image you posted? If so, you are not alone. We are all guilty of being affected by this. Even though we know that what we see on Instagram is not always reality, we can sometimes trick ourselves into believing it is. Sometimes the photos are styled just for the sake of Instagram, and often it's just a small peek into a moment of that person's life. It's not a reflection of their entire life situation. So if you sometimes find yourself feeling envy or jealous, remember that you should never judge a person on their Instagram grid. It's not fair. Behind every Instagram profile, there is always a real person with real feelings just like you. So measuring your success through comparison is a recipe for letting yourself down. Why? Because creating art is not a competition. Someone does not have to lose for someone else to win. Comparing is not productive at all. It's often the opposite. Comparing yourself to others take up your precious time and headspace, and it kills your creativity like nothing else. When you compare yourself to your competition and tailor your business to match other businesses in the field, you're forgetting the one thing your business has that no other businesses have, and that is you. Your secret sauce is you. Build your business around your unique talents, ideas, and vision, and you'll ensure that not only will you stand out, you will also do the work you love and were meant to do. Instead of wasting valuable time comparing, focus on being more creative and have fun with your craft. So if you're currently following someone on Instagram or another social media platform that tends to drag you into the comparison trap, just unfollow that person. It's much more healthy for you. Strive to only follow creatives that boost your creativity and motivate you to go and create something yourself. I absolutely love Instagram myself. I use it as my creative outlet for my photos and my writings. More and more I tend to use my Instagram as a second blog, so my captions tend to be pretty long, and some people don't like that, and some people will never take time to read it, and I'm totally okay with that. I write first and foremost for my own pleasure. I never write a caption to live up to something or to please others. I write to help others. I write only when I get something on my heart, and therefore it gives me so much joy when I do it. I'm posting when I want and what I want. I don't have a specific plan or schedule, but it wasn't always like that. I used to be much more concerned about my images looking cohesive, as well as posting on the popular times. I tried to follow what all the gurus out there said that I needed to do to grow my following, but in doing so, my creativity suffered from this. So when I started to post for my own pleasure and focusing on connecting with like-minded people, commenting and building relationships, that was when I started to see growth on Instagram. Today, what I love most about being on Instagram is connecting with my community. It gives me so much joy and energy. So I want you to remember that you have a particular set of gifts and talents that are unique to you. Comparing your life, your personality, and talent is a waste of those gifts. Focus on the process of creating. Imagine there are no rules, and just like a child, allow yourself to play and have fun with new ideas. Who cares what it looks like if you had fun creating it? It's the quality of life that matters, not how it looks on the outside. So, take your power back and decide to post for your eyes only, and for your own pleasure. After all, your Instagram account is yours, right? Post photos that makes you feel happy and creative. Have fun with it and do it for you. Don't post photos to try to please others or get more followers. It will only make you feel stressed and detached from yourself. And that brings me to number 5. Stop avoiding selling your products and services. Have you ever heard someone say that it's not spiritual to want money, or that it's selfish to want money? For a long time, I bought into those ideas. I thought that if I raised my prices, people would see me as greedy. I believed that if I talked about my products and my service, I would be seen as aggressive or pushing. And I can tell you from experience that this is probably some of the most destructive beliefs that you can have as a creative entrepreneur. The reason is this: if you don't charge what you are worth, and if you keep avoiding selling your amazing offerings, you will end up with no business at all. No income means no business. If you want to make a living doing what you love, if you want the freedom to live your dream life as an artist and creative entrepreneur, guess what? You are going to learn to love selling and accepting money. My point is that selling and making money isn't something to avoid. In fact, it's what will change your life. charging what you're worth doesn't make you greedy. It makes you confident and respected. Making money doing what you love doesn't make you less spiritual or less creative. The truth is that money makes you more of what you already are. If you are kind and helpful as poor, you will be even more kind and helpful when you have money. Deep down, most people don't believe that they have what it takes to live a rich life and become wealthy. That's why most people struggle with money. It's not because of lack of willpower, intelligence, or creativity. It's because you have already pre-decided what level of success you are able to achieve. So to change things around, you have three options. You can do nothing and let go of your dream. You can keep hustling and struggling, complain and feel sorry for yourself. Or you can adapt and change your belief around money and selling. Think about it. When you are not selling enough, when you are not getting fully booked, do you tell yourself that it's a sign that people don't want to work with you, they don't want to buy what you offer, that you aren't good enough? Or is the real obstacle that you are avoiding putting yourself out there? Is the real obstacle that you avoid selling because it feels like you are forcing your products onto other people? You have to promote yourself, and you got to learn to love selling. Selling is not about being annoying or even trying to force your products onto someone. Selling is love. If you love what you do, all you sell is love. It's such a game changer to think like this, that selling is love, and if you love what you do, all you sell is love. Another way of looking at it is this. Selling is sharing inspiration. If you feel inspired to inspire others, all you sell is inspiration. Selling is also storytelling. Forget those icky sales emails. Talk about your journey. Share how you got from where you were to where you are today. And last but not least, I want you to know that when it comes to selling, you need to do it continually for a period of time. Because for people to buy from you, they have to first get to know you and then trust you. So that means statistically, it's a difficult word for me, statistically, your client has to be in contact with you up to 7 to 11 times before they buy from you. So bring in a lot of patience when selling your products and keep mentioning what you offer many, many times. So there you have it. 5 things you need to stop doing in 2019 in order to grow your business. I hope this was helpful. If you enjoyed this podcast and want more episodes in the future, be sure to like this podcast and give it a 5-star review and share it with your friends. And if you have any questions for me that you would like me to answer in an upcoming show, simply shoot me an email. I always love to hear from my community. And finally, I just want to remind you again that registration for my upcoming online program, Optimize Your Creative Life, is closing in just a few days. So if you are thinking of starting a creative business, or if you already have a business and need help growing it into a thriving empire, I'm here to help. With this program, I give you my complete blueprint that you can copy and implement to fit your unique business, and I will be there to help you every step of the way. You can read all about it on my website, and of course I will link to the course info in the show notes. So just before we go, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so, so much for being here. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being you. You are amazing. Bye-bye, lovelies.